doing? What was that? What, you said you're good at that.
Mommy! When he's in the car.
Okay, that's fair.
What does he say? Unmake me!
What the hell does he say?
Holy
something.
Hell. You peeked the hell out of the recording.
I forget what he says
after.
You
know I was recording.
He says mommy and daddy. Like,
he says unmake me. Yeah. But then he says another thing.
Go away, son. Yeah. I love you.
I can't remember what it was, but yeah.
Go make some music. Maybe. So we've actually been recording for 25 seconds.
Well, shit.
Did you get my...
I did. Yeah. You're peeking out the mic so damn hard. But it's okay. I'm usually the one that peeks out.
Sorry!
I feel like there might be an ongoing joke in this episode.
Oh my god.
Yeah. We don't like jokes.
I'm done now.
I think jokes are contrived.
Well, yeah. A lot of times they are.
Are you trying to make note sounds?
Yeah. I'm rifling my
While papers. I was testing the mic, Brooke was crumpling paper, and that's the only thing I could fucking hear.
Perfect.
I was like, God.
I threw it away.
So, this is our first time back in fucking months.
Are we starting?
Yeah.
We're just like diving right
so
in.
So, like, right, I've been taking to this whole, in the podcast world, there's people do like a cold open where they bullshit for a minute, and then they do like a, like, welcome to. And I just decided to do that, but I never told you guys.
Welcome.
Cut to music.
Starts. Please make your selection.
You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show. Woo!
So welcome back I can't do it high enough. I don't have a high enough voice to play Nick Cage roles, apparently. But yeah, we're back after, I think our last was before the summer. I think it was like May. I think it's been like that long.
We
like
broke some promises this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, and our promise keeper was supposed to help us over
okay,
here.
Okay, first of all, there are things that can be done, and then there are simply things that cannot be accomplished.
That's true.
And as powerful as I may be, apparently, what I want doesn't matter.
That's fair, it doesn't. I'm going to call it to you. Daddy!
Hey, that was pretty good.
I feel like if I had to do it like for real, I gotta like go in the kitchen and you
oh
can record
god.
It and I.
Yeah. Oh my god, jeez. So if you're not familiar with us, it's because we haven't podcasted in a long time or because we're not that popular. But in all honesty, we're glad to be back and sitting at this dining room table and recording. So welcome back, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, and my wife is with us today.
Great.
Yay. She's going to talk like this about how
much I will not.
So, I'm not paid to, but I want to plug coffee. I just tried new coffee today from Four Monkeys, and it's got the coolest logo, and I'm going to totally put it in the show notes so I can try to get free coffee. So we're here to talk about a spooky movie this month, because it is October.
Spooky, scary.
Yeah, it is, and we decided to go new and exciting and with long legs. So, let's start. Real brief, before I even get into the actual synopsis, what's everybody's real quick first impression of the movie?
Dun, dun, dun.
Bricky!
It made me feel uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable. And it didn't change after the second watch.
So you've seen it twice now?
Yes. Yeah.
I also have seen it twice. I also find it kind of icky at times.
Yeah.
Like, and very, very, yeah, uncomfortable is a good word. It, like, it's creepy. I wouldn't say it's, like, jump scare, ha, scary. Well, there's a couple moments like that. But most of
it,
to me.
Yeah, I would disagree with that.
But there's a couple moments. But most of it's got that very, like, creepy, eerie, yeah. I definitely see kind of, like, the procedurals that we watch, like The Silence of the Lambs and stuff like that. So it was in that vibe, but, like, I don't know. I'm excited to talk about it.
My quick take is that Satan is real. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
And that,
and he lives in a basement.
Yeah. And that Nick Cage is an actual serial killer.
Well, that's probably true, too.
Those are my hot takes.
I thought it was a super fun time. I had a great time.
Loki's like, I felt like home.
Okay, well, so, I mean, I think my take was different just hearing from Brookie and Murder. But not a bad way. I didn't find it scary, but I'm also, like, really interested in, like, paranormal and, like, the occult and, like, spiritual stuff like that. So I get really tuned in. So I wasn't scared, but I would definitely call it, like, a psychological thriller. Yeah. Like, I can see, like, where it's really anxiety-inducing.
Mm-hmm.
But me, I'm like, let me take notes on how to live my life. Yeah. That's not true. That's not true.
Yeah, it's a little,
that's
a little,
that's not true.
So far, I have to beep out you... Your recent comment and then her threatening or making slander on Nick Cage, she's not going to sue us.
Slander?
You said he's probably a serial killer.
I have so much evidence.
She
which
didn't
I will
say probably.
You.
She said it is.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. I wanted to be an FBI agent, okay? I don't know what you were thinking, but.
Yes.
Let's calm down, obviously. For a
all right, so in the pursuit of a serial killer, an FBI agent uncovers a series of occult clues that she must solve to end this terrifying killing spree.
Terrifying.
I mean, the killing spree is pretty I mean, if it was real.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Like, if this in life, I'd be pretty fucking scared.
Sure.
Well, it's entire family, so.
Like, family annihilation stuff.
So I guess I wouldn't be scared. I'd be dead.
Yeah.
Birthday on the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Or, like, what, 4 days? Or, like, so many
like
days before and after?
No, I'm just saying
something like that.
It'd be super scaly.
Well, all their birthdays are on the 14th. It's when the family annihilations happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know.
Let's
calm
down, everybody.
All right, so obviously I read a two-sentence that describes absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm.
We got FBI. That's in there.
Yeah. FBI's
serial
in there.
Serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got
clues.
Yeah, we've got Makeup Monroe as Agent Lee Harker, which I forgot her name. I knew it was Harker, but... Lee, and she is investigating these series of murders. Yeah, I mean, I think it's got some of that same like Thomas Harris spooky weird.
Well, they bring her in
thing.
Because she has some kind of like special ability to sense things happening.
Autism. No, I'm being serious. I think she's, like,
well,
on the spectrum.
They put her through, like, that...
That's not a bad thing. I mean, I think she's on the spectrum, for real.
They put
that's
her...
That's what Billy said, too.
But, so, the first thing her that happens is they're looking for a guy, and, you know, she knows that he's in this particular building.
Right, right.
And, you know, her partner's like, okay, I'll check it out. And then he's...
Stupid little lady.
Yeah, he's gone. But then they bring her in and test her, which was so weird, like...
There was some, like for almost like for
thing?
ESP or something.
The
it was
word
like
you're looking for is psychic abilities.
Yeah. It was just like, and the way she was describing the images, which were really freaking fast, I would never be able to do that.
No.
They didn't look anything to me like the thing she said.
Well, they're not supposed to. It's like a
yeah.
word association thing. There's
but like really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's if you do it slow, then you overthink it.
Yep.
And then you like overwrite
that would be
intuition.
Me.
So
yeah.
There's like,
but I think that's basically how it starts, right?
Yeah.
Then they pull her into one of the latest family slayings.
Oh, and
it starts
and
from there.
I did skip right over the fact that we have a scene in the beginning with a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know it's her, but pretty quickly I assumed it was her.
Yeah.
But they don't really tell us till later that it is. But, but yeah, so we have this little girl and... This weird dude is, like, in her yard, and he, like, approaches her, and mostly we see from, like, chest down on him.
It's, like, here.
Yeah, like,
it's like, it, a, it, like it, right under his nose.
Right under his nose. Okay, so a little bit higher than I realized. Sorry. Thank you for
correcting.
Well,
you can see
me.
His mouth. And so, like, you know
yeah,
you that
oh, right, you
messed
can, yeah.
up. Yeah, but you don't know how messed up he is. Yeah.
Right. So, and then he talks about how he's got his long legs on. Sorry. So then he squats down, and that's when we get to actually see his...
And I jump so high because he yells or something when he goes down, like real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I, it doesn't matter that I already saw it. I was like,
you jumped the second time too. I want to point out for the record that at no point in this movie did I jump.
Oh,
I jumped so many times. Yeah.
There are unexpected things. I mean, even like,
it doesn't matter if I know it's coming. Even if I know it's coming,
yeah,
I'll jump.
The first scene's interesting too because it's like 35mm.
Yeah.
And they have like they go back to that a few times when they're doing like flashbacks.
Flashbacks.
It's how they
yeah.
like, denote
really,
there's a
like,
flashback.
Beautifully shot.
It is really beautifully shot.
Yeah,
it is a cool transition. Like you don't know that at first. I was like, oh, is it going to be like this the whole time?
Yeah.
Which I was okay with. Like mm-hmm. the lighthouse was like that.
Yeah.
But when
I didn't want his lobster though.
You love me lobster. but then it expands out as like it goes into like the current time. So
yeah.
going back to that for flashbacks is pretty cool. So you're not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, oh, am I in a flashback? I'm not.
Are you guys familiar with the director?
No.
Okay, so Oz Perkins, he is Anthony Perkins' son. As in, like, Psycho Anthony Perkins.
Oh.
He only has a handful of films, but as a director. But that, he's mostly known, what was it called?
Like the
Black Coat's Daughter. Yeah, Black Coat's Daughter. And there was a movie on Netflix he did. Like a year after that, called I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House.
Mm-hmm.
He did the Gretel and Hansel movie that did not do too well.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his first like film since then. He did a few episodes of the reboot of Twilight Zone.
Oh, cool.
The one that Jordan Peele, whatever. So yeah, I mean, he hasn't done a ton, but he's been doing stuff. The Black Coat's Daughter was like really well received, and then his other stuff has been like kind of up and down since then. But, this is actually his top-rated movie now, Long Legs, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good one. I actually liked it, so.
That's
sorry, we've really started to skew this love-hate here.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it has something to do with, like, limited screen time, but that's neither
also
here
the heavy
there.
Makeup.
Well, I don't know, the makeup's pretty horrifying.
Well, that's what I mean.
I think
it's
beautiful.
It's not like...
I think it really does work for him.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Like, if it were anyone other than Nicolas Cage, then maybe not so much, but it's like a vibe.
I do actually feel that way about his role, though. I don't know I can picture anybody else doing it.
Yeah.
He doesn't look creepy to me until they show him singing Happy Birthday in the interview room on the TV. Something about the quality of the television. So... I'm like, oh my God, he looks so gross.
Yeah, it looks like old FBI tapes from
when
they were establishing.
It was all like dark, killer. Like yeah. darker shadows on the face and mm-hmm. everything. Yeah.
Little CCTV action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No high def.
So it sounds like we all liked the film, or even like it quite a bit. So maybe we should get into some of the specifics that we like.
No.
So what were some of your favorite moments from the film or favorite things about the film? Like you said we were already talking about cinematography. Like it looks great.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. I mean, I'm kind of on the same level with like horror movies across the board. I prefer the psychological thrillers to like the gory, like up close stabby stab stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like what was that one we watched? The Black Telephone?
Oh yeah.
The Black Phone.
The Black Phone, yeah. That like that and Hereditary and stuff like that, I'm right there with. So I think there was a lot to like because the way they build up the suspense was really nice. And also just like making you feel awkward off the bat. Like even the little things like Harker sitting in the room with that little girl. And it's just like, first of all, why is he like, come here and meet my family. It's 11 p.m. Come on. And then also, why did they just, like, put her in a room alone with her daughter, like, off the bat? And then they're just awkwardly sitting there kind of, like, staring at each other. So I feel like it, like, off the, like, just in the little tiny moments just made you feel a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit awkward, and a little bit of, like, suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that really built up everything else. Like, so I felt like my reactions were, like, so much stronger to, like, what was developing because I already felt so, like, uncomfortable in those, like, tiny little moments where nothing was really happening. So I really did like that.
Yeah.
I liked that too. No. I liked the old horror movie vibe of not having like an actual score.
Mm. Yeah.
There was music. I mean, there was a bunch of T-Rex songs.
Right, because he was like, you supposedly obsessed with them.
Right.
His character was. Mm-hmm.
But then also, like, there are certain notes, obviously, that are known to, like, give people anxiety. So, and they're always, like, discordant. So, like, you have those kinds of sounds, like, throughout it, mm-hmm. where it kind of bleeds into what can feel like a score, but then it just kind of goes away.
Mm-hmm.
I like that element of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing, though. I think the idea is to just kind of, like, keep you just uncomfortable enough that you're like, what's gonna happen now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like, is something actually happening? Am I not noticing it?
Am I
like,
missing something?
Yeah, that's what I was doing the whole time. I was like kind of panicking and
trying
to
look at stuff. There are hidden things, but we can go there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Mika Monroe is really good. Like, I think her as the main role. I'm rewatching it today. I feel like she's got that same, like, I keep comparing it to the Thomas Harris movies, but it reminds me of, like, both of the people who played Jodie Foster and
Julianne Moore.
You know, I like that she's got that without being, she's not, like, as, like, aggressive in her personality, like, trying, she's, her personality's different, but I think she fits the role really well. Like, I think she, I don't know, there's something about, I feel like this movie's really well cast. Like, I can't picture anybody, I can probably picture a few other people in that role, but she feels perfect for it. And
yeah, she was really good. That passive, like she's like very passive, right. But like super alert, and like she spoke to the character really well, I think.
And I think that's why I said she's on the spectrum. Only, I mean, you can't determine that obviously, but like if you, I worked with people for years. I did wraparound services, and I have a lot of friends who you know are neurodivergent, and we talk about it all the time and stuff. And like, there is like hyperfixation on certain things. So like you have the hyperfixation on the details to the you know, but like the really weird social awkwardness, like the scene of her and the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's probably the first time I was, before I even like realized, like, oh, she's on the spectrum. Yeah. Like that was immediately, like that was the scene that made me go, you know, like, and so, and that's not a bad thing at all. Like I didn't mean to say it like an insult. I actually think it's just like, I think that's part of her character. And I think it works really well, especially in a role like an FBI profiler, because like you have to be so detail oriented. And I think like sometimes that quirky side, or that like you seem like you're just quiet and not paying attention, but you're kind of soaking everything up.
Yeah. I think I read it a little differently.
Okay.
Like I don't think I didn't read autism as much as I read like somebody who's been through something
traumatic. Oh yeah, true too.
And like is hyper vigilant because of that.
That's right.
Like kind of constantly looking over her shoulder and like just trying to remain calm at all times. Like that was the kind of read I got from her. Yeah. Of like she's waiting for something bad to happen, but trying to keep her cool so she can handle it. That's how I read it, at least.
I have a totally different theory.
Go. Aliens.
All right, so hear me out. Aliens. It depends on how much we want to dig into more about what is actually happening in the movie.
No, just going? Start digging.
Are we
dig.
Going? Digging?
Dig, yeah. Dig, digging.
Digging.
Get a shovel.
Okay, baby. So the further you get into the movie, you learn more about Longlegs, what his whole deal is, and then you discover that he is more than just a serial killer.
Oh, right.
Potentially. He's a doll maker who makes these very special dolls to like be doppelgangers to these girls. And when they find one of the dolls, they open up, you know, its head, and there's, like, a sphere inside of it. And the Emmy refers to it as, like, its brain, just cleverly. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like I'm just, like, it's just the whole movie.
That's okay.
So it's like, bah! All right, so.
So you want to talk about, like, what it is, like, in the brain.
Yeah, like, what is happening. Okay, so, I mean, they allude to, without specifically saying, that inside of the doll is the way that they're controlling these families to actually kill themselves and kill each other, so that no one is physically going in the house. So Longlegs doesn't ever actually physically kill someone. His accomplice also doesn't ever actually physically kill someone. So that they're Mr. Downstairs, a.k.a. the devil, is controlling them via the dolls. So when it comes to Lee, you get to the end, and her doll is still fully intact.
Mm.
And when her mom blows its head off, not only does like this black,
oh right,
smoky entity come from the doll, but it yeah. also comes from Lee's head.
Yeah.
So I feel like she's as awkward as she is because she's actually still actively being controlled.
Yeah, she's like in trance, just like
She has no memory.
Well, yeah, she has no memory. Yeah, so and that's
and they
like,
say that the doll, yeah, as long as the doll's there, that's why you can't remember.
Yeah, it tells the little girls like what to see and what not to remember.
Yeah, because like Ruby, is her name Ruby, the little girl?
At the end,
yeah. she's like just like holding the doll and like not there at all. And that, I feel like you're saying, it breeds her personality. Lee's personality was a lot like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like they're gone.
Yeah, she was somewhere else. You're just the whole
kind of like a vessel. Because Lee also says in that weird moment in her bedroom that like she didn't want to be an FBI agent and that she wanted to be an actress, which is also why it kind of seems like she seems distant from being an FBI agent. She's like, I guess this is just what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And then
do you think like Longlegs wanted her to be an FBI?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, Satan.
Yeah. Sorry. Satan.
But that's then that all leads to the end and you're like, okay, but why?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know why. But then I'm like, is she taking over? Is she the new Longlegs? Well, she's free now, but Ruby's not.
Yeah, because she didn't pull the trigger. Oh, well, she tried to pull the trigger, but...
The other thing that led me to that was Carrie Ann Camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she was in a state of, like, catatonia because her doll was boxed up and underneath a crucifix.
Yeah, you're right.
And as soon as they opened that box up, she was awake again.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think if like there was still like some control that Ruby's doll had when, because she only fired two shots, right? So she should have had four bullets left.
Oh yeah, like the inability to actually fire.
Like when it was clicking.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like it was clicking. Like there was no bullets in it because like there's like a certain sound that happens. Yeah. It's like a ping, and this was like a tap. Like it was tapping.
Time.
So it sounded like
actually,
it felt like something else was controlling her from destroying the doll. At least that's how I took it.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Damn long legs.
Yeah, well, and so, like...
Got damn long legs.
One of the things I like about the film is that for the first, well, two-thirds or so, maybe even further, it could be completely naturally explained.
Yeah. It could straight up just be
a serial killer.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we find out, no, this is demonic shit.
Yeah.
And I like...
That's my favorite
kind
of shit.
Well, that's like... That's... You brought up Hereditary as, like, kind of your shit. And, like, that's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Hereditary is this horrifyingly painful family drama.
Yeah.
And then you realize that underneath that drama is actually the occult. Like, it's actually this worship of this crazy-ass paiman demon thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I think that makes a lot of sense, is that... this would vibe with you the same way. You know what I mean? And it definitely vibes with me that way, too.
Love a story with a mentally ill mother.
Mm.
It's the best time.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
It just really speaks to my heart.
I'm like, I feel you. I also wanted to kill my mom.
I was also, when you watched it the second time, did you see the shadows?
Yes.
Wilder.
I did not catch that the first time.
Shadows? There's like...
On the doorway?
Yeah, like a horned figure.
Yes.
So I didn't,
in
but
several places.
Oh yeah, I was.
But you
want to
know why I didn't?
To,
I was watching it on the screen in the middle of the day outside, and I don't.
Oh,
I can't
it's
see
very,
shadow.
Very fast. It's when she shuts
I would have
the
to be
door.
Staring at the TV to see it, or in the dark.
I only caught
the
one on the door,
screen.
But there were more in the.
Yeah, I didn't see them all. I want to watch it again. I think there's like four or five instances, but one's like the basement door.
Mm-hmm.
I think one is the door too when she's at that other house.
That's
the
one I saw.
Yeah.
Oh no, the one I saw was at the very end. When she's going to Ruby's birthday party and, like, very quickly she shuts the door and you see it and then it goes into the other scene. It's, like, super-duper fast. Did not catch it the first time at all, actually.
I think it's also when she gets the birthday card.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he goes into her house and drops the birthday card on. She's, like, reading it. It's, like, over her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my scariest scenes to me, too. Like, is it him in her house? Like,
right, yeah. And then just gone. And then, like,
how
do you
know? She
freaking
sees a... person out.
First of all,
goes against everything we've been taught.
Go.
He's a goddamn FBI agent.
There's so many things about this that I was like, why? Why are you doing this?
Why would you go outside because you saw someone and then lock the door behind you?
She lives
fine.
In the middle
you
of
the
woods by herself.
Woods. Exactly.
With giant windows.
A white woman, by the way.
I hear strong independent women.
Listen, giant windows. those shades or anything.
Well, no, that's because she had no neighbors. She doesn't need shades.
Yeah, I don't know if she's on any of my windows.
She sees a weird dude outside, and she goes to look for him with her gun.
FBI agents.
And she turns around.
Lock her door behind her. That's what she needs. That's opening it for somebody to go in.
She turns around, and there he fucking is, walking around her house. And then, like, at that point, you don't really know, like, that they're connected.
Yeah.
Until she gets that card, and then you're like... Mm-hmm. But then she's able to kind of, like, decode it almost, like, instantly.
Well, what I...
He gives her the code.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, and it says, like, don't tell them how you got this.
Okay. I didn't catch that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was...
Well, you're so stressed.
I know. I was just, like, the whole time, I'm like, my heart's racing. And there's no sound in that particular scene mm-hmm. either, which really bothered me.
Yeah, like, the code is, like, within the card. Mm-hmm. And because she's good at, like, puzzles and figure things out,
she does it so quick. But... Yeah. I think what's interesting is she has no memory of all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't think she ever truly remembers till the end, but she figures out the stuff even though she can't remember it. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, she's just so, like, adept at, like...
Like, there's an accomplice?
Right. Like,
I
she
didn't
figures...
notice that they mentioned that in the very beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, almost instantly. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't catch the first time. There was a lot I didn't catch the first time.
I guess it makes sense, because if he's left no trace of himself mm-hmm. inside of the houses, and there's no forced entry... They're like, someone has to be getting in that these people, like, mm-hmm. trust mm-hmm. and know. So,
why not a nun?
Why not?
Part of me, in the beginning, was like, is he convincing these little girls to kill their family somehow? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Which,
essentially, is, yeah.
In a different way, but yes, I was essentially, like, yeah. Man, that would be so fucked, because you go into it and be like, this is just a regular serial killer situation. It's like, you think an accomplice would leave something behind, too, but...
That's, like, sinister.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sinister.
It is. There is a vibe for sinister. Like, are you
but
a,
in
you
that movie? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that movie, though, that's what happens. The
right.
One of the kids gets possessed, and then
they do it through like a different way. But
murders
yeah,
all the rest of the family.
And then,
yeah.
and then when you start seeing like the kids like peek their heads in the cameras, you're like, oh my god, like it's so
yeah,
horrifying.
That's fucked up.
Oh yeah.
Well, the other thing that drove me nuts is that why did they inspect the barn in the middle of the night? The whole time they're in there, I'm like, why?
There's no time to waste, okay?
Oh, my God. It was so scary.
She figured out the algorithm. They have limited time to save a family.
They have a lot of no backup scenarios where I'm just like...
Oh, yeah.
You, like, when she goes in the room with him and she's just, like, talking to him and there's nobody outside. There's nobody, like, looking out for her at all. In what scenario is this, like, serial killer that they just caught after, like, going off of nothing?
Supposed to be, like, the 90s.
Yeah, they're not gonna just have a guy outside.
Well, they definitely don't have cell phones.
Just a guy.
Yeah.
Or, like, escort her the whole entire time because she's now a part of this. Like, they confirmed that she is a part of this. Like, the holiday card, like, the connection. At that point, the FBI should be around her all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And then, like, they go to the barn, no backup. They go to the fucking mom's house, no fucking backup. I was like, dude, like, at what point are we gonna, like, get our boys in there?
Just wanted to point out, because we were not sure. It takes place in the early to mid-90s, not
okay,
specific,
yeah.
And it is set in Oregon during the winter.
Mm-hmm. During the winter.
Mm,
the other thing that's crazy, hold on, yeah. I noticed weird little shit. So, Carrie Ann, after she's no longer, like, in a comatose state, and they're, like, talking to her... says that she's seen Lee before, and the only thing that Lee has seen involving her is a doll, which means that she can see through the doll, which is terrifying.
That's probably why he covers them with blankets.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That tracks.
And so, and she's in the box, and they had the doll's eyes closed with, like, cross over the
top.
Oh,
God, when
it.
The doll's eyes open, I jumped.
Oh, yeah, that was totally the jump scare. I was trying to think of what jump scare actually got me. It was like the fucking doll.
Yeah,
because dolls are fucking terrifying. Especially that doll. Except for the Emmy. Emmy is like, oh, look at that doll.
The most beautiful doll I've ever seen.
I want
a talented artist.
Oh my god.
This doll. This doll is the beautifulest doll in the world. Like, he was so all about it. I was like, is he the fucking serial killer? Like, the whole time he was talking about it.
He's the same guy that you met sitting outside the Wawa today.
Yeah, the same dude.
Marry me. No.
No. No, thank you.
So, let's talk about Cage for a minute.
Oh, I forgot he was in this.
Yeah. Well, so that's actually worth talking, though. So, like,
yeah, I mean,
refreshing.
I think they said he only has, like, 4.5 minutes of actual screen time in the film. It's just spread out in little, like, 30-second blurbs, and then the interrogation scene is his longest scene. That's, like, 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
ends with him smashing his head.
That was crazy.
I had to cover my eyes.
It's gross.
Especially at the very end.
On the nose.
Like, before he actually lays down his dead. Oh, God.
The nose.
Oh,
he looked like the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, it was like a bloody, like, skeleton.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dad, the creepy guy's here again.
Yeah.
I like when he goes to the store and the girl's like, Dad, the creepy guy's here again. Yeah.
She's like, her eyes couldn't be further in the back of her skull. She's like, this guy sucks. Get out of here.
And he's trying to be like all like,
when's
like,
your birthday, little girl?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so weird.
Really harmonized.
So what do you think? What do you think of his performance? It's limited time-wise.
He creeped me out. And I feel like
you look like you're afraid to say you liked it. You look like you're afraid to say.
No, I feel like it's going to be really predictable what I'm going to say. He was just himself. He literally was just himself. He was,
it was like the all perfect of the Nick fucking Cage
roles
thing
that he's ever had where he lost his shit in one role, but then really quiet at times. Like, that was like the biggest difference is that he was talking very gingerly and then he was flipping out like he does in every fucking movie ever. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, it was good. It was creepy. It was uncomfortable for
and
sure.
And singing like tons of lines.
But
like,
I just think that he was good at it because he's an actual serial killer.
This is the opinion of one.
Does not reflect the opinion.
Yeah,
I
was looking at this article and he was like, I don't think I'll ever play a serial killer after this role. I just don't like to play somebody that hurts somebody. I was like, oh, sure, Jan. Like, okay, that sounds like something a serial killer would say.
Oh, my God.
I don't like to hurt anybody. I'm just so innocent.
I think what's interesting is I can see what you're saying. So, like, thinking about the movie after the movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But while watching the movie, I wasn't like, this is Nick Cage playing a role. Like,
when he was quiet, I definitely felt that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely was like, I don't know. And it's not even that it didn't necessarily look like him, because you can obviously see him, like, through the prosthetics. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't that jarring that you're like, who could this actor possibly be? But, like, at the same time, it just fit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It is interesting.
So, his voice is obviously weird, but it did fit to me a lot. And
he does a lot of singing.
I think he stuck to his accent pretty well.
He did stick.
No, really, 4.5 minutes of screen time.
I just almost wish that, like, because the parts where he was, like, quiet and talking and being, like,
I think he was creepier when he was doing that.
Genuinely scary. I almost wish, like, he didn't flip out. Like, I think he was very terrifying when he was calm.
Now, the question is, did he flip out because he wanted to, or did they bring him in because they wanted Cage flip outs?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
They're going to cast him for the flip out.
Probably, yeah.
Like, but I feel like the difference in that is what's so jarring.
It is
like,
true.
How are you, little angel? And then he screams.
Yeah, I just wish he like changed it a little bit. Like he had that same tone. Like I like could almost match the tone of him like when he was dying in what's it called?
Kick-Ass.
And he's like, and it was that same like tone that he does, and he does it all the time. I almost wish that he just had like a little bit difference in his tone. Like the flip outs were like scary, like because he was like, "Happy birthday!" Like, you know what I mean? Like, so the difference was
doing
cool.
It right now with creeping.
Well, yeah, but I just wish it was a different tone. But he can change it. You know how I know he can change it? Because he's changed his accent 50 times in one movie. Yeah, every movie he's ever done.
Difference between accent and pitch.
I feel like he could change.
There's a comfortable range with which you can scream in.
Yeah.
And he's found his.
I wish he found something else.
Mommy! Oh my God, it's so creepy. It sounds just like it.
You do sound really good. See, if you could change your voice, he could change his voice.
But that's the comfortable range for me. Me and Nick Cage live together in that range, and that is how we scream.
And also in your household.
He's at home right now.
He's the man downstairs.
Oh my God.
He was like, is Murder going to say mean things about me again? And I was like, well, she'll probably call you a serial killer, which you can expect. You know, that's not true.
Yeah.
And gave him a little
if you want to pretend... We can pretend it's the other guy who lives in the house, too. Instead
Mr.
Of, yeah,
Downstairs definitely lives in my house.
Oh, God.
Creepy.
He's the downstairs.
So,
when you're down south.
Not a whole lot of complaints. Maybe a little bit more. Your biggest complaint is he's still just being a Nick Cage.
He was too Cage. Like, the majority of the time, he wasn't, but the screaming thing, like,
it's my favorite too Cage.
Do you feel like, because I said this before, like, or anybody else for that matter. I can't picture that role with somebody else playing it, though.
I
just
feel
like
hear me out.
Okay.
Bill Murray. Hear me out.
No.
I've never seen. Has he ever been a like a nope horror villain?
I mean, honestly, nope. He's a bit of a sexual offender in the Ghostbusters movies, but
well, yeah. Oh God,
it's problematic.
I feel like Bill Skarsgård can do anything.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah. Probably anybody that has the name Skarsgård could pull this off too. I mean,
yeah, but there's something special about.
Yeah, he's great. I think being in horror. Yeah,
I think plus he's so tall too.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So if you're able to bend down.
It's funny though because he always plays these roles where I don't realize he's super tall until like all of a sudden they'll do like a wide shot. I'll be like, oh yeah,
that dude is so tall.
Like the Horrible Crow remake that nobody should ever fucking.
First
watch.
Of all, do not talk about it at all.
She wants to see.
I haven't seen it, and I don't want to hear.
I
that
really
it
want to
bad.
See it. Do you want to go see it together?
Yeah, let's. Well, we can't go see it. We can come to my house and okay. We can watch
I can,
it.
I can send it to you. You should not pay to watch it.
Yeah, I will pay to watch it because I want to support Billy Boy Skarsgård.
Yeah,
love that family.
I think like Bill Skarsgård. Could probably definitely fit that role really well, but yeah. I think in my brain somebody like not expected makes the most sense because he's just a guy, like he's just like
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito would be excellent.
He got no long legs.
Yeah, excellent. You can't call him
you
long.
You can't call him long legs.
But he's on stilts the whole time.
Oh, in that scene he wears stilts.
Yeah. He's just
wait, hold on.
Are we writing the long legs episode of It's Always Sunny right now?
That's Danny DeVito in short legs. Right. Instead of
somebody get Rob McElhenney on the phone.
Oh gosh. Hello, Rob.
Instead of squatting down, he has to get a stepladder out. He's like, hold on.
Hang on, I'll be right there.
I'll be right up there for a second. Hold on, There was another crazy thing.
Okay.
That I just
tell us you're crazy.
I loved when you get to the end and you realize that he's living in her mother's basement.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Entire time.
That so is wild. That
when
is really
did you
wild.
Realize well, that?
When she woke up in the basement.
Yeah. I mean, it made the most sense.
Well, they started, when she was describing, yeah, I mean, it was right around that time.
Well,
you had to know something weird was in that room or whatever it was, because when she went to visit her mom, it was, like, padlocked.
Right, but would you have expected it to be him?
Yeah. I mean, it made sense. Right. I, you
yeah,
knew
that's
something.
Hindsight, though. Hindsight's everything.
Oh, yeah, I didn't expect it.
No.
But I knew there was something going on with that door.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a basement.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know, because her mom's clearly a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't throw anything away.
Yeah.
So they point that out. So it could have, I didn't know if it was more clues and stuff her mom didn't want her to see.
I felt
potentially
like,
it could have been the doll.
Yeah.
I felt like it was just foreshadowing that something very bad was
oh, yeah.
behind that because and it had something to do with all this like connection because why would she have a padlocked door there on you know what I mean like
she don't want people in her business
yeah but she you I mean like you don't get that vibe from her when you know she visits her it's more like you know
but she's on all kinds of drugs
yeah
she's on a lot.
To show them, it's like there's like needles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
do
how many murders were there
prayers?
That she had to fucking witness?
So I was thinking about that too, and she was like, do you still say your prayers? And then eventually Lee saying no, and that she was afraid of them. And I'm like, are they prayers to God?
Yeah.
Because probably not.
Yeah.
Which is probably why it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, because her mom specifically says our prayers are what keeps the devil from hurting us or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, it sounded like she was saying that she was like praying to Satan. Like,
yeah.
That's what I heard.
That's what I got out of it, too.
Well, and she also basically gives...
Yeah.
She gives her the break in the case.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I keep everything. There's things up in your room.
Winky face.
Yeah. Like, it's just very,
it's almost
like
she wants to be caught.
Yeah, well, but that's
break,
the thing.
Break the chain? Like, the human side of her?
Yeah, but that's what, like, was confusing about it, because she... So she took the doll and she shot it in the head, which was like basically like a mercy killing for her daughter to be free,
mm-hmm.
which seems like altruistic and nice and whatever. But then she just continues to go on with this fucking plan even after her daughter's fucking free. So I was like, she's just
and
like
Long
a fucking...
And Longlegs is dead already.
Yeah, so she's just a fucking nutjob. I mean, she did witness so many murders, so like, sorry. But also she's...
I don't know if she maybe thought that she could set her free then because he's dead.
Gotcha.
But then she proceeds to give a doll to Ruby.
Yeah.
Like after.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
it's
mm-hmm.
after.
It's after.
Yeah.
And we don't even know at the end of the movie if the chain's completely broken because there is still one doll.
Well, yeah, that's
Ruby's
the other
doll.
Thing, too. So going back to the Lee actually being controlled the entire time.
Yeah.
Like from childhood mm-hmm. is like, if this is all part of the plan, making her believe that she's free would probably be, but there's like that ambiguity. Like, is there gonna be a long legs too? Like,
but how do you replicate the doll? Make it like he was the one that made the dolls, and I mean, obviously, we don't know how he.
I mean, maybe
they made those weird though. Little like.
Well, and they kept things. Saying it was a part of him. He put a part of him in there.
I just, yeah, but were they I talking like about was, Mr. Downstairs or
yeah, I don't know.
Or were we talking about Mr. All the Way Downstairs?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Because yeah. I think that Longlegs was just a vessel. He was just a guy that Satan used to do his bidding. So yeah. he's not the guy. He's not the only guy.
Right.
So like there's the potential that he's going to somebody else.
And
so
you just have to put it in Ruby. A different.
So there would not be a Longlegs too, but could there be a Ruby?
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, that's the other thing too.
Yeah, because yeah. that's what I think is the most likely because. Ruby still has that connection to him. Like, Lee doesn't.
I actually would like to see more movies with the Micah Monroe character mm-hmm. as she's now, like, free. Like, see her solve.
Yeah, I think it would have been cool to have, like,
a. She's, like, really bad at her job now.
Even a super short.
I should just go be an actress now.
Like, ending scene that's, yeah. like, them, like, Ruby grown up. And, like, it can be ambiguous, but that would have been cool. Like, yeah. Like, what happened there?
What happened?
Yeah. Okay. Also, weirdly disorienting for me. Playing the credits the opposite way.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I literally was, I mean, again, it was like 3 a.m. when I finished it. And mm-hmm. I was like, am I, like.
So I was up the thing.
Am I having an episode? What is happening to me right
now? So I made the mistake and definitely shouldn't have done it today because I was super exhausted. Like, oh, do we have to record a podcast? Although now I'm having a great time. So
yeah. yeah.
But I was out in the garage doing work and then I stopped and started paying attention to the movie as I started like really getting into it. And so I was like really exhausted, and I was like, "Is it me?"
Yeah, I thought I was having an episode.
And then I literally had to go. Wait, but they usually, and I'm literally going, but they usually go right.
I literally referenced a movie after and, it.
Yeah,
I'm like, to the end of a movie on Disney.
I'm on recording, like, so you guys can't see, but I'm literally like yeah. using my
also,
hands.
Also, you
to
watched
out.
It before,
right? But I,
but he didn't catch it.
I didn't remember that he it was doing the opposite own. Way. That throws me off. That's yeah. There are other movies that I've seen do that, but that particular,
I've never seen it.
They did that shit on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It fucked me up. I was fucked
up. Did you guys watch the end credit scene?
Was there an end credit
no.
scene?
No. Oh,
fuck you.
Yeah.
Goddamn Marvel.
Only for some people.
I mean, that's why Marvel has conditioned me to stay till the end of the credits on every movie, and then I ended up disappointed.
Well, so it's funny.
You're like, oh, man.
I love
no
when,
end credit scene.
When there's people who are getting ready to clean the clean thing, they'll be like, there's no end credit scene. They'll tell us. There's no, yeah. like, because they want everybody to leave till they can clean. Yeah. That'd be great if they were just lying to us and it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't trust you kids. What are you, like, 15? Get out of here.
You don't know shit about
you
shit.
You know shit about shit.
So we always rate 1 to 5 the film. 1 to 5.
I gave it a 5.
Oh, so you, like, love this movie.
Yeah. It made me super uncomfortable. And,
right.
And
love it. Love doesn't
me out.
Mean
but
you're,
I, but
you're
that,
dying to watch it again all
the
time.
It's the kind of movie and, like, story that... I love those
yeah.
kinds.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Like the procedurals.
Mm-hmm. Right. We watch that stuff
and
all the time.
And the ones that are yeah. like really fucked up and disturbing.
Like
and...
they've been watching Grotesquerie this season. That's a
yeah.
fucked up TV show version of it. You know?
But I mean, like, I got 7 vibes too from this.
Yeah.
7
oh, big time.
And Silence of the Lambs, obviously.
Oz Perkins wrote the script as well, and he actually talked about those two movies being
yeah.
like really big in his. And
his influence.
Yeah. And his. Dad's writing, because Anthony Perkins also did a bunch of, like, worked on scripts and stuff, and he did the whole Psycho series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Psycho series.
I honestly don't understand all the hate that it got.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it was just because...
Critically, it did great.
I know, but everybody, when it came out, everybody just shat all over it because, I guess because of the marketing. Because they build it up, and even in the marketing, they don't really know... anything about the story.
Yeah.
You just know that he's this fucked up serial killer. Like, with the phone call. Like, you could call a number and he
yeah.
talks to you on the phone.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I have said that number so many fucking yeah. times.
I said you, it 3 times. I was like, hey, check this number. You go, like, no, I already have. It's that long legs thing. Right? I was like, oh, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, because three other people already got it to me.
So, 5. 1 to 5, 5. Yep. Boom. How about you guys?
Dang. Just smashing out numbers. 0.
That's not true at all.
I don't know if I would give it a 5.
Oh, that's fine. What would you
I know,
give
I'm,
it?
Well, I'm just thinking. Let me, give me, come back to
all right, I'll come back to you.
It's like when I have to order at a restaurant.
Deliver it like Nick Cage.
four.
So this is a really weird situation. Yeah. That I mean the same number. Yeah. I'm a four as well.
Yeah, I think it's a four. I think like right up my alley horror movie wise. Wasn't like I mean it was fucking gross some points, but it wasn't like so gross that I was like, ugh, I'm gonna get sick. And I really did like parts of Nick Cage's acting. I just, you know, again, wish I didn't hear that scream. It's like a tone that hits me, like a dog whistle, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, and I'm in
Nicholas Cage. Nicholas Cage, where are you? Where is she?
So I'm definitely a four as well. I could end up with it as more of like a four and a half. It's not going to hit quite five for me probably, but it's definitely a movie I find really creepy but rewatchable. Like I definitely think I'm going to watch it more. Whereas like there's some types of creepy that I don't want to rewatch, and I did like, you know, it's a world I was interested in being in.
It's like getting all the like as soon as we watched it in the theater and we walked out, I'm like, I need to watch this again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even though I felt like creeped out.
The one thing I didn't do is I didn't do any like reading on the internet. What people have to say about like their theories.
I've just seen like, you know, headlines and stuff.
I knew nothing going into it.
Yeah.
Which same. I kind of liked keeping it that way.
Yeah.
I think it added a little bit. If you like look into it and watch it, I think you'd probably just be like, yeah. Meh.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, even afterwards, I was planning on like, and I never did. So, though definitely good to go in. I was
looking up the Rotten Tomatoes. It's not that bad. They didn't like shit.
No,
either.
It was like.
Well, critically, I think it did pretty well.
It was like 85%.
I'm reading
and then
like
61 for the audience.
Yeah, that's still
not
pretty
bad
good
for a horror movie.
But what I was talking about was like if you're on social media,
oh, yeah.
and you see posts about it and you read the comments, it's all like there's a couple positive
like,
ones
really
are in
good.
There, but
then
there's just
like,
so many people that are like bitching about it, and I just didn't understand.
You didn't
it.
Like it. It wasn't scary. Well, I think so. Here's the thing. I'm gonna give it a 4.5.
Okay.
4.5.
So that's where we're as a team calling it a 4.5 because we have two fours and a 4.5. We're gonna call it a 4.5. There you go.
So because I want more horror movies like this to be made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I think I can see why people who are like classic like horror fans. There's a category or like the like a wide audience of people that want a slasher film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they want it to be like super gory, or they want it to be jump scare after jump scare.
Yeah, that's
so I can see why if you walk into a movie thinking that that's what you're getting into based off of like the marketing and whatever, that they were like,
yeah,
like I can understand that, but also like I don't want that.
Yeah,
like I don't, I'm not scared.
Yeah,
everyone's like, oh, I'm scared. I don't find them scary. I don't enjoy them. I don't get anything out of, like, those kinds of movies.
Yeah. I'm right,
so, like,
yeah.
This at least has something where it's, like, well, like, you're, you know, visiting ideas in your head. Especially if, you know, you're a recovering Christian. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think it's
a recovering Catholic.
Me. I think it's a really good movie for, like, people that don't like horror. You know what I mean? Like, that's
I can see where I can see it pushing some people over the edge, though, too, if you, like, still, like,
yeah.
If you still aren't into
horror,
because
if you're like scared or whatever, but like I'm not a super big horror fan. Like I don't like the slashers and like the blood and the gore and the guts and the potential rape scenes and all this other shit. I don't like any of that shit. But I do like something that makes me a little nervous.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is relatable. And
it's like
also
a psychological thriller. Is that the right word?
Yeah,
no, definitely. And I mean, I'm with you.
I don't think a guy coming out a knife with me is scary. I think a guy controlling my thoughts through Satan and only letting me see what he wants me to see for, 34 years of my life?
Sure.
Terrifying.
That's fucking terrifying to me. That's truly horrifying.
Yeah,
so,
I get that. And like,
Brooke to find
out
he was living in your basement the whole time. I know,
that's
your
horrible.
Entire
oh my
life,
God.
Basically.
That's like my biggest fear. Whoa. Is that somebody's like living in my walls. Like that is an actual reality that could happen.
I have some movies I should share with you that you'll just never sleep again if I show them to you. So I guess maybe I shouldn't show them to you, but
I would say like our brand. Well, mine.
We both watch a lot of horror.
I love horror comedy. Like, Slaps I really love
horror
comedy.
I appreciate a horror comedy, too.
Because it's always ridiculous. And
is Nick Cage in Slacks? We should do that.
No, but we can just transpose him as somebody.
But I feel
he's
like
the Slacks.
A movie
Like, it doesn't happen to me that often, but every once in a while there will be that movie that just scares the shit out of me or creeps me out or just makes me feel something or some way about it and sticks with me, like, long after I watch it. Like, The Boogeyman, the new Boogeyman, that was
That's a PG-13 movie without any gore, but like...
The Boogeyman?
But like, what I was saying is that you and I watch a horror movie almost every day of the year. And so, like, we watch a lot of horror. And it's a very wide variety of it, but I definitely feel like this category is one of the ones that, like, we both love a lot. One of the complaints I heard people say, I don't have this complaint, clearly none of us do, is that because it's a true procedural for, like, the first two-thirds, people were upset that, like, oh, the whole Satan thing ruined it.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Satan doesn't ruin anything.
He adds character.
Satan enhances the experience.
That's why Star didn't like it.
What are they, Christian?
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
All right, said, Sister Christian.
She's like, I wish it wouldn't have turned into, like, a, you know, a... the occult whole thing. Yeah, so I... And
that,
I mean,
that was what some people
that.
Complained about with Hereditary, too, which is hilarious, because to me, like, that's the best thing. It's the... When it explodes is, like, what I'm waiting for.
Mm-hmm. It explains the story.
But I only brought that up to say I think that's what some of the pushback was, too. So you either had the people who wanted it to be, like, a true gore horror fest, or you had the people who went in thinking it's a procedural and came out going, why'd you have to get all Satan about it and God about it, you know?
Yeah.
But so we give it a 4.5. We obviously liked it quite a bit. As we're wrapping up, does anybody have a nomination for next month's movie? Isn't there a movie that...
A Thanksgiving Nick Cage movie?
Well, I think there is. Isn't there, like, the November Man or some shit? Isn't that a movie? I don't know. I'm making things up at this point. So I don't know what our movie's going to
Turkey
be yet.
Gay.
But,
I Googled Thanksgiving Nick Cage and I just got this photo of...
Oh, I want to see it.
Airbrush Nick Cage next to a turkey. That should be
Oh my god, that's terrifying.
It's
looking.
Fucking terrifying.
What's wrong with his face?
Everything. Many things.
I feel like there is...
Oh, we got to post these in the show notes.
Well, all right. The reason everybody's laughing, we'll have to post in the show notes of ridiculous pictures. Because I ain't cutting this out.
I'm not laughing.
But since we don't know what we're going to pick for... Oh, that's the one, The Family Man. Why did I say November Man? The Family Man.
Well,
that's
you
it.
Got three or two words,
is it about
right?
Thanksgiving?
The Man. It's set in Thanksgiving.
All right. We're watching The Family Man next month. I don't know anything about it. It could be awful. Probably isn't great.
I just accidentally watch a episode of Family Guy in preparation. Like, oh,
The Family Man.
It's a rom-com.
Can't wait. God. Great. Awesome. And as we wrap, well,
it's Christmas.
It'll be Halloween in just a couple of days. If you are down in the greater Philadelphia area, check out Rockstar Roller Derby.
Hell yeah.
Our
championship bout.
The championship bout is in November. What's the date again?
It is November 16th.
November 16th.
November 16th. My little sister's birthday.
Wait. Thank God it's not the
first. My other little sister besides you.
Yeah, I was about to say, who the fuck?
Who the fuck?
Who the fuck?
So, I guess that's it. I don't have anything else to plug. Do you guys have anything else to say or plug? Or complain about? Or anything?
No.
Well,
no.
Nope.
Then with that, we say thanks for letting us back into your life after a 5-month break, and hopefully we won't be gone very long this time.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Hail Satan.
Hey, Mr. Downstairs at your door. On the radio. In my skull, I see my son taking tits off. Round.
Stop it. Huh.